This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With 2 in 3 football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
So, welcome back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Ed.
How you doing? You alright?
It turns out I forgot to release this one. It is actually only the 1st of January.
Yeah.
See, I can't wait for that Ron Martin to go.
Hopefully he tries to sell the club.
Yeah. That Lapata's a player, isn't he?
Yeah. So, welcome back. Thanks for all the messages of support and disgust.
Yeah.
We haven't just not been doing anything, in fairness. We deliberately didn't record before the embargo. Well, not the embargo, sorry, the tax bill. And then afterwards, we didn't see the point, to be honest. But
now also, got jobs.
Yeah. Like, just moved out, so it's a bit busy, but... Now, with the news on Friday of the club now officially up for sale, we thought we'd come back. And we are joined by...
We are joined, but this is football royalty.
YouTube royalty.
Football royalty.
It's the Lord Football himself.
Custard splat debut for Mr. Kerry Fairless.
Good afternoon, guys.
How you doing? You alright?
Yeah, well, cool. Haven't seen you for all at least, what, 3 days?
It's been a while. Happy to be here?
Absolutely delighted. I was wondering when the invite was coming.
More than I see my parents.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely now. But, yeah.
My wife was like, you're out with those two again, yeah.
Well, I don't know where to start, really, because obviously there's a lot of football, but...
And we haven't actually prepared any notes
for
this.
No, that's what I mean.
We could just sit and...
Ramble.
Just riff on this for absolutely hours.
Yeah.
Which we probably will do, and there'll be some considerable editing gone into when this goes out. So,
but I guess
if you are listening to this,
sorry,
on wherever you get your podcast from, if this is 40 minutes long, you'll know there's been some significant editing. But if it's 3 hours, you'll know that I
it won't be 3 hours. I'm hungry. It won't be 3 hours. I'm telling you that. But I guess we might as well start with the announcement on Friday that the club is now officially, you know, out there in the open for sale, or at least seeking further investment. So I guess, where do we start with that? What's our opinions on that?
Well, Kerry, as the guest, you can go first. I see some people getting really excited about it, and we've got our club back. I see it as the beginning of the end. Mm. You know, there is a process to go through. I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a buyer lined up somewhere. This announcement's been in the pipeline for 4 or 5 weeks, I believe. We are aware of some people whose names we can't mention here that have been around the club trying to do a purchase. I think the difficulty comes, you have to unravel it all. Are you buying a football club? Are you buying a football club with £25 million of Ronnie Boy debt? Are you buying a football club with a requirement to move into a new stadium, a small stadium in a housing estate, which sounds a bit 1970s when you think about it.
It sounds great, actually.
Well, yeah.
Because that's how I like the football stadium.
That's how they
should be. The middle of a housing estate, that sounds great.
None of this out-of-town stuff.
They're all like nowadays in the middle of industrial estates and like shopping centres. And okay, they're like stunning arenas, but they're cold, they're not very homely. Like, some of the favourite grounds you'll go to were like, well, it's gone now, but Griffin Park was always like a nice one, nice vibe. Luton, despite what you might think about Luton, I think Luton's fantastic.
Filbert Street, if you ever went there.
Yeah, you even Gillingham, you're like, you're, all right, it's a shit away end when you get there, but it's in the middle of like a community.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think that's what helps, and I think when you take your new stadium away from who you're trying to attract, like look at Colchester.
Yeah, it's a bit soulless.
Prime example, Colchester. They had Layer Road in like, at the end of somebody's road.
Yeah.
And now it's just on a junction off the A12, and they get some appalling attendances.
Yeah.
I don't think that's got anything to do with where the stadium is, though.
No.
Well, they got better crowds at. At Layer Road.
Did they?
No, I remember not a lot better, but I reckon on average.
Well, maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I probably agree with that, what you're saying there about the what are you actually buying. Yeah, I can't see how anyone's buying anything, but obviously there's more to it.
You're buying players' contracts.
You'll get more, yeah, you're buying the name Southend United. You're not going to own anything.
I mean, obviously,
I know there's there's work to be done, and I'm sure some people will come in and say, I want absolutely everything that you've got to offer me, and there'll probably be other people saying, well, actually, if you're going to outprice the stadium or whatever else there is, I don't really want that at the moment, or whatever, you know, I don't know. So, but
I mean, the difficulty is that unless you've got a significant amount of money, you're not going to make money on this. You're going to buy a football club because you want to buy a football club. You want to own a football club.
What, you mean this big function room is not going to make money?
No. well, even if it is, it ain't gonna make money tomorrow. So if we get, you know, Joe Bloggs comes in and buys the club over the summer.
You said you couldn't name names, Kerry.
Well, yeah, Mr. Bloggs, I can't. You know, the famous ex Folchester Rovers, Billy the Fish, is going to come in and buy it.
Billy the Fish.
There you go. You're going to have to invest. You're going to have to invest your own money.
Yeah. Because
you've got no income.
Yeah.
So no one's going to, you know, where's your money coming from? Well, you're going to get season tickets.
Well, are you?
Well,
we'll come to that. That's an interesting one.
Don't buy your season ticket yet, kids. But you have some income from ticket sales. I'm not quite sure where the embargo stands, because apparently there's another issue with HMRC.
Well, it's tax, isn't it?
Which I don't know what the issue is.
He hasn't paid any tax since October.
Well, yeah, it is, but is it... Has he not paid the tax from October? Has he not paid all of the old tax bill off?
No, to both.
So yeah, probably no to both. But at the very least, he's probably hasn't paid the tax since we got.
Yeah, well, he's also not paid his staff.
So if you take it back, he got £5 million from somewhere. So we don't actually know whether he got that from a bridging loan.
Is it public knowledge what the interest is on that loan?
I've heard 800,000.
Can we say that?
800,000.
I've heard
over what? Over a term of what?
The life of whatever it is. I mean, I heard that on the grapevine.
So it's not necessarily like a...
Well, no. Because I heard a daily rate.
Oh, you know. I mean, look, people just make stuff up. I'd heard £800,000. That seems to be...
But that could be over how many years is that over?
I don't know. I know...
To be fair, no wonder the season prices went up.
Yeah. I know when I tried to get a bridging loan on a personal basis, I couldn't afford one. Yeah. It wasn't even a case of this is what it cost you. It was a case of...
Yeah, I can't do that.
Just yeah, okay. The bank said you can't afford it. My bank said you can't afford it. So, and I'm not a multi-million pound property developer.
Nor is he.
Yeah. I mean, so there's figures in the rounds. So we don't know whether he's got a bridging loan or whether someone's lent
him
some money.
He's just got a funny loan from a dodgy bastard. Yeah.
But there is a name out there where it's come from. I don't know. I won't say it.
Yeah, I'd heard there was a name.
I don't know if I can say it, actually. I won't. I know something you don't, but I actually don't know if that.
Yeah, it's probably best you don't.
I don't have to pull this evidence.
So anybody is that bothered, you can message us.
Yeah, I'll just tell you.
He's got 500. He's got £5 million. So it appears that he's paid HMRC off to the point that HMRC have gone the winding up orders out of there. So I'm assuming he's paid his tax bill, whatever that tax bill was. Yeah, but I don't know whether his next tax bill is paid. There was an issue around embargo and Tom was trying to sort something out of HMRC, which sounds like another time to pay.
Sure.
Which I understand that. You know, and HMRC, and I can't say much because obviously I work from HMRC, will have that conversation and they'll come to some kind of agreement at some point. But whichever way you look at it, we are still in embargo. We're halfway through March.
Yeah. We've got a week left. I think I'm pretty sure we've got like a week left to sign anyone. Something like that.
Yeah. It does cut off soon.
So that loads of questions. So you want to sign somebody who wants to come to a club that habitually doesn't pay its players? What agent, now given what's happened with Wapata, wants to represent a player when you know the last high-level one allegedly wasn't paid £18,000? Do you want to do business with that club knowing that you might not get your share?
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, everything that's gone on in the last 8 months has done the long-term future of the club not much good, because everything that's come out has been negative. And everything that's come out has been negative because of the actions of one man.
Yeah.
The supporters, and full credit to everybody, from the guys that have wandered up the high street to the magnificent work that Liam Ager's done with the press, and Paul Fitz has done, and everyone else has done to get that to where it is. Everything's been negative. So, really, are we going to buy anybody, get anybody want to come in?
Yeah, who's going to want to come in?
I think, if I'm actually out talking a bit football in here, actual football chat, God, you'd probably get a couple of kids join on loan from Championship.
That might be it, as long as it
just works. To boost the numbers. And let's get a striker in, let's get another centre-half in, let's get a 10 in. Do you know what I mean? The
reality is, 5 defeats on the trot at the wrong time of the season. There's no fresh legs to come in. Everyone else has got fresh legs and been able to do it. We're in an embargo. We can't do it.
Yeah.
The reality is we're going to be in the National League again next season.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Which I don't actually have an issue with, by the way.
No. Nobody knows what that's going to look like, because the embargo means, as far as I understand, we actually can't re-sign players.
Apparently. No. I didn't know that. That might be a National League rule. I'm pretty sure in the EFL you could. I might be wrong.
I'd agree with you.
But
I think you're right.
Because when someone told me this, I thought,
So for anyone that's not sure what that actually means, players that we've currently got that are out of contract, i.e. Arnold, Ralph, Hobson, Bridge, just a few off the top of my head, even if we wanted to, which I'd be certain we would want to, we can't renegotiate with them right now because we've got an embargo.
So
we could probably negotiate with them on the promise that the embargo would be lifted on X date, but we can't actually re-sign them.
So the next problem you get is that, let's say the embargo's done, we're out of embargo, is that who then makes decisions about playing staff next year? I mean, obviously, Kevin and his boys will have views about who they want, who they don't want, what they want to change.
Well, that's if they want to stay.
Yeah, but... Well, that's another...
Hopefully, that's another branch. But
it all comes crashing down,
Who owns the financial viewing here? We know, you know, Clown Shoes has been quite keen to get... has been quite... I'm going to copyright that. That was a CM Punk line.
Clown Shoes.
So we know that he's been involved with transfers before. I've heard he was involved...
Two this year.
The boy that didn't come from Weymouth because some sell-on fee that Ron wanted to put in that no one wanted. And the Wapata one, where apparently we paid more than the original offer was. But
yeah, so if you still needed some additional evidence as to why everything Ron Martin touches turns to shit, that was it.
Yeah.
There's two transfer dealings that he got his grubby hands over this year. One of them didn't happen, and the other one... The other one is just a monumental balls up of epic proportions. Yeah,
exactly. So you get to, you know, the close season, we still don't have a new owner.
Yeah.
But who makes the decisions about the financial aspects of it?
Yeah.
I guess he probably won't, but he in theory... So who makes decisions in the close season on the financials? Because if Ron's still in charge, he'll want to have a say in what comes in and what comes out. We've seen the two cases where that happened in the close season. The boy from Weymouth that didn't come because Clown Shoes wanted a...
Clown Shoes. Every time you say Clown Shoes.
It's so immature, but it's fucking hilarious.
I love CM Punk. But every time Clown Shoes gets involved with the transfer, it goes wrong. The boy from Weymouth... we wanted a ridiculous sign-on clause, and then we have the whole Casper Lapata thing, where allegedly we've got a deal on the table, and Ronnie Boy comes in and offers him more money than what was there. I mean, you just can't.
And it doesn't pay said money.
And it doesn't pay said money.
We'd agreed a deal that we probably could afford.
Yeah.
You've come in, offered, no, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to double that. We'll give your agent 18 grand. What's that? You actually want your 18 grand?
You want it? Oh,
sorry, mate.
I did hear on the grapevine that a certain CEO's eyeballs were come rolling up into the back of his head. Just imagine what kind of meme that would look like.
That would have been great meme material.
Just, I've got to say, and I will say, I think Tom Lawrence does a great job.
I think the club would have gone bust with
it. I think when, and it really makes me cross when some of our fans have a pop at Tom.
Well, I think, I'm not necessarily defending these people as such, but I think that just comes from a frustration of not.
Yeah, they want someone to blame.
In fairness,
Ron's not been coming to games.
Yeah.
So, and it's very much who am I going to lash out at?
Yeah. In fairness, all right, this was very much maybe more of a Stan thing to say, but it was a whole transparency and honesty, blah, blah, blah. And let's be honest, it has been extremely quiet the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, actually, what can Tom and Stan say?
I think...
Nothing.
Yeah.
They say, someone says to him, what's happening with this embargo? They say, I don't know, I don't have the money, and I'm not giving them money. Yeah. Like, if they do say anything, do you know what I mean?
Stan's role is in the footballing department. Stan is involved in, kind of the scouting team. Obviously, he's got John Steele there as well. So they'll be out still, along with the three that are on the coaching staff, they'll be identifying players that we know. That's what they're doing. We know of a couple of names that have come up recently that have, funnily enough, joined our, well, at the time, considered them playoff rivals. I think we can kiss that goodbye now. But funnily enough, the teams in the playoff pack have been able to strengthen. You've got the guy Dallas from Solihull that's joined Chesterfield. We were interested in him. And you've got Junior Marias as well that's now gone to Notts County from Dagenham. We were interested in both them players. Funnily enough, so were other teams that were doing well. They've been able to strengthen. We, funnily enough, haven't because we're under an embargo. So our footballing department, our scouting department...
They can't do anything, really.
They can watch as many games and identify as many players as they like, but we can't sign them.
Yeah.
So what do you really want them to do?
I think, I know Tom. I've seen Tom in action. I think he's really good for the club. I don't know Stan.
I've only met him once.
I've been
in his presence once.
I'm of that age where I remember Stan playing. Funnily enough, I wasn't going to games all the time then because of a chairman at the time. But, you know, Stan brings something to the club. He is Stan Collymore. He's an ambassador. He's an advocate.
Oh, yeah, he's got an aura.
And I think when you see the names that were mentioned in the press conference, Jez Moxley, that's where Stan comes in. And there was something hidden somewhere in Shrimper Zone.
Well, Stan commented on the zone that he knows.
Yeah, so I think you look at Stan and maybe where we're going to now is something that Stan's got involved in.
I must admit... So, because I can understand this frustration, because obviously some people were frustrated that, obviously, when Stan came in, it was all the transparency, honesty, blah, 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 and then it seemed to be radio silence. I think when you look at what's happened now, with that, the sale of the club, and like you say as well, they're almost like a, to Nick, I think it's Matt Slater said them, they're like an estate agent for football
clubs. Essentially, estate agents.
So, but when you look at that link, and with it being Stan, I actually think that it's, I think everyone's been waiting for Ron to officially set up, or at least, and that's why I think if there was no signs of him leaving, I think a lot of people would have packed their bags.
I think
that's why when we keep saying, how could you work on them conditions? I think that's why.
Well, that's what I mean. So do you think some of the staff,
not the staff, but I mean
like the higher up.
I'll say Stan and Tom. I reckon, had a feeling or inkling. It's like he has to go.
I reckon there's maybe even a couple of rungs on the ladder below Tom that might have had that similar inkling as well. Maybe. Because I, for the life of me, can't wrap my head around why some of these people have stayed for so long.
Well, I guess ultimately it was a case of he either does eventually set up or the club does go bust. There was no in between, in my opinion. People will say, oh yeah, but if you've got the stadium. I don't agree with that. I still think it's too far gone now. He's run out of money. He either sells up or the club goes. And I think a lot of people knew that and they were like, when he actually won't, well, I'll say that, touch wood, he might not let the club die. He'd actually be like, no, I'll take a loss, but also the club.
I mean, many, many years ago, and it was back on the days when I was reffing senior league football, so I'm going back a long way.
Now, we hadn't mentioned that so far, that Kerry's a ref.
Was a ref.
Apologies
retired.
For that.
Retired, yeah.
You never, once you're in, you're never out, Kerry. You never stop.
I hate sleeves.
I hate refs, though.
So but I'm an ex-one.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I can't think what his name was. He worked at the club, but he became a referee like, for life.
Steve,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So he was telling me, and this was 15 years ago, that you know what Ron wanted was a legacy, to build a stadium, and that was to be his legacy. And
which
I think
fair
that,
enough.
And I think now,
I'm sure lots of chairmen would want that.
And like. I think that's fair enough. I think the problem we've had is that it's become fairly apparent to most of us that this dream he's had, for one reason and another, he can't afford to do. And I think it's that letting it go. And I think this is the process of him letting go. I mean, that press conference he did, he wasn't enjoying that. He didn't give the impression that that was something he really wanted to be doing on his Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Can I make a comment on that press conference then? Because it was actually a conversation that I had with my dad. Because, yeah, he's a mess in that press conference. He's fumbling over every other word. He's having to read it off the script. I know, like, of course, you will have a script either in your head or maybe like flat on the table, so it's not always obvious you're reading off a script. But that was very obvious that Ron had, like, he needed the help to get through that speech. And my dad made a comment that it was like, that's not Ron. You know, Ron is someone that will always, like, even with all the bullshit, he'll puff his chest out and he'll bullshit the bullshit, and he'll do it all day and all night because that's just who he is. And he made a comment saying, that's not Ron. That's not what we see. And I jumped in straight away and I said, no, I think for the first time ever, that's the first time we've seen the true Ron Martin.
Yeah, potentially.
A phony.
Or maybe you've seen his emotions. Anyway, I'll say that much.
The first time I met Ron was the old supporters liaison group. It was before the Zoom calls, and it was just before the COVID lockdown. He didn't know who I was. I think I went.
Was that the one that was with Molesey?
Molesey wasn't there. This was before that.
Okay. No, that was during lockdown.
And it was Molesey
was the COVID season.
We would have, because we still had some.
Yeah.
And
Christ.
And I did the first question. And the first question I asked him was,
why the fuck did you appoint Sol Campbell?
I wish I'd asked that. But what I actually asked was, will we still have a club next year? And he kind of looked at me and he said, I don't understand why you've asked that question. So I had to contextualise it for him about the importance of the social fabric, you know, families being brought up. And we had quite a nice, genteel conversation around football in Southend, but he didn't understand the question because he was used to other people asking questions. He could kind of second guess what they were.
Yeah.
So I think when you take him out of his comfort zone and you put him in a spot, I don't think he's very comfortable at all. So I'd seen that Ron Martin. But he was nothing like that. He just looked somebody that just...
I thought he looked broken.
He did look broken. He looked defeated. He looked humbled.
You know, I'm not going to be nice about this because, as you know, I don't go to Roots Hall at the moment.
Yeah.
And I know I did the video and everything.
Which video is that, Kerry?
The YouTube video, the copper thing. That,
oh, right.
You might have seen it. I mentioned it a couple of times. Also, I'm the London Marathon. And I've been to 354 different grounds. But... and the San Siro more recently than Richard Smith.
And more recently than Roots Hall.
I just find it really difficult.
When was the last time you went to Roots Hall?
I went to the Barnet game.
Okay, it's not that long ago.
I haven't paid to go to Roots Hall since COVID. And you know, I've donated money 2 seasons on the chop for season tickets. I've got no problem with that. My name's on the little wall outside. But there's this thing with football where Jobson did it back in the day. So if you don't like it here, go and support someone else. Well, you can't really do that. You just can't really go, I'll be a Millwall fan, shall I? It doesn't work like that. It's difficult. I don't know quite.
Because I think a lot of us would have done that. If it was that easy.
I would have.
So in that video, I said, watching this is like watching your pet bin put down every week.
Yeah.
And I found with the COVID break, when you couldn't watch it, there was other things to do. You know, there were, I can do this, I can do that. And I just thought, do I want to continue to give my money? that I work hard for to to that man to then not spend on the football club, to spend on his vanity project. And I've taken a decision that, if someone says I've got a season ticket, I'm not using, there you go.
Yeah.
If I'm not doing a service, I'll go. Yeah. But I'm not going to give him any money to do it.
Yeah.
But it's been some ebbs and flows with that. The last season, when things were picking up, I got quite into it. It was really nice. But every time you get a good, it's like having a girlfriend that you have a rocky relationship with. You really love her. She's the best thing in your life. She's always been there. You have a couple of really, good dates, a really good relationship. And then when it's really good and it's high and it's maximum, you find out this guy called Ron's coming along and fucked her up the arse. You have to walk away again. And you look at it as recently as this season, we've just signed Casper Lapata. What a signing that is. Everyone's, Lapata's coming. He's a magnificent player. A week later, we're a winding up order.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it's all back down again. We've paid HMRC. It's great. Casper Lapata's left because you haven't paid his wages. And it's every single time it happens. Every time something good happens at that club, he comes along and he does something or hasn't done something. And it just causes that. And emotionally, I just find for my mental health.
Well, it was
just
a bit like Friday as well. We get the announcement. Yep. Okay, well, we haven't sold the club yet, but, as you said at the beginning, Kerry, it's the beginning of the end. He started the process. So, there's some good news there. But, still got a transfer embargo.
Yeah. We still owe HMRC money.
Yeah, so there is always something negative.
And and I'm not the only one. There are other people, long-standing supporters, have been doing this as long as I have, and some of them longer, that really find it very difficult at the moment. And it's like having a long-distance relationship. I mean, because you've done some of the stuff I do on a Saturday sometimes. You look at your phone, you know what's going on, you know the score, you know the team, you talk about the game, you're not there.
Yeah.
But there's no joy in there at the moment. Kevin Mayer has done an absolutely fantastic job, and the team around an absolutely fantastic job. But the Rams are tied behind their back. And you go knowing the fact that you're never going to see a full potential because there's an embargo and he can't get the players he wants in. People aren't getting paid. I find it abhorrent that we still have staff, kids working for that club that haven't been paid.
Mm.
That to me is the worst of the lot, is the people that are paying rents and mortgages and bills and he just didn't pay them.
Yeah.
And, he said sorry once, I think. Actually, he should have been...
Has he?
I think he did. I think he said sorry
in a very early... I'm going to be honest, I've never heard the word sorry come out of his mouth.
If you could find me that, I'm going to print it
off. I think
if you could find me that, I'll get a tattoo.
I think he did. I think very early. I think he said, I'm sorry about that. Or he didn't use the word sorry, obviously, because that's a failure. But I think he did show some contrition.
No chance.
You might edit that bit out when we take a look and find him.
Well, they must have edited that bit out when he said sorry and all.
But the fact is...
I've never heard the man show any empathy...
The fact is, he should be wearing a sackcloth and walking around Southend ringing a bell, in penance for these people that have kept his football club going. And I understand why those people did that, because it's a football club. It falls back to that, there's not a business like it.
Yeah.
If they'd all gone, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to get another job. I'll tell you what, we're all going to go on strike. The football club would have ceased because they wouldn't have got the games. The thing that really worries me about all this is the National League haven't said anything. There's been no noise from the National League about what happens next.
Do you think that's... because they've got something lined up, or is it just a case of they actually don't allow this to happen?
I really don't know.
So, Kerry, just for the benefit of anyone listening that might not understand what you mean by that, can you just explain that?
So, we all know in the Football League, which we're no longer a member of, because of Sol Campbell, take that out because he'll sue.
Allegedly.
That's fine, we're covered.
Yeah, so Football League has got some rules. If you go to administration, you lose points depending on what you've done and how you've done it. The National League, if you look at their history, have their own set of rules, and they have a habit of demoting teams that don't meet certain criteria. And one of the criteria is, can you prove you can play 46 games next year? Well, I'm not sure we can.
I'm not sure we can prove we can start next season, to be honest.
Okay, so if we are...
This will obviously meaning if we're still under an embargo. We've got a number of players out of contracts. We don't have a choice. They all leave.
And the club isn't being funded.
We can't sign anyone.
And we haven't sold the club.
Mm.
Yeah.
The National League AGM might just say, thank you very much, but no thank you.
Yeah.
They don't. That doesn't mean they relegate us to the National League South. That means they put us out the National League. So we are then having a conversation with the Isthmian League. Now, I know you boys have done the Isthmian League grounds with me. You just imagine the madness of that.
Yeah, you're rocking up at Aveley.
You know,
and Canvey, and they're the nicer ones.
You know, I'm not going to disparage any club in the Isthmian League. It's a lovely, lovely...
Yeah, it is what it is.
Lovely competition. Yeah, yeah. Some great clubs, some great grounds. Mm. But I can just imagine 2,000 Southend fans rocking into Haringey Borough.
Don't imagine that.
It ain't going to happen. It's
now doing what we do as like grand hoppers. You go there and there's like 200-300 people there, and
exactly,
it's great.
You know,
but yeah, you try and maximise that by tenfold, you've got a massive problem.
You know, if you think going to some of the non
thought King's Lynn was bad.
Well, you some of the non-league, the older style non-league grounds have been to where you struggle with a view. It's not really set up for massive away followings, and that isn't their fault. That's our fault for being in the first place.
Well, it's like my dad has been to one away game since we've been in the National League, and it was Bromley last year, and it's because it was Boxing Day.
Yeah,
it's the only reason he went.
And I got him trousered in a pub.
Yeah, there was that. Absolutely steaming.
Yeah.
But he hated it because he's like, I can't see.
That's the same as me, though. Like, you're less tall than me.
You're a similar height. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean.
But like, I'm not going to have a go at those clubs because those clubs are punching by being in the National League.
Oh, yeah. I'm not having a dig at Bromley by saying that.
Bromley is actually one of the better ones.
Yeah, when you compare it, to be honest.
But if people think, oh, you know, the Isthmian League will be funny, we'll just win every game 8-0. That ain't going to happen.
No, of course it's not, because you're not going to have the team.
That's just football, isn't it?
Yeah. You know.
Man City don't win every game.
So to go back to the National League point is the National League, as far as I'm aware, haven't said anything. There's been nothing from the National League that we've been told that say you need to sort that out. The other thing that really worries me is the ground grading.
Yeah, because...
Did you see the state of the tweets coming out from this weekend?
Yeah.
And
he's had the absolute nerve to put the season together.
I'm not even joking. What's happened? I know that's obviously not just happened out of nowhere. I know that ground has been neglected for like 10 years. But what's happened? It just seemed to have been on that. I was looking at everything. I was like, everything is falling apart.
Absolutely everything is falling apart.
I appreciate it's an old ground, and I say it hasn't had an investment in it. Or not even just investment. It hasn't had an upkeep.
What I think is actually quite disgusting to think is, because these videos that we're obviously talking about is like the toilets and that sort of surrounding facilities.
Yeah, I'm assuming people have seen it.
If you're not on Twitter, you might not have seen it, but there's some videos surfaced of yesterday. Like, it was raining yesterday. And the ceiling, I think that's the West Stand.
Well, the ceiling tiles have been taken out.
The ceiling tiles are gone. So you've now got water seemingly seeping through the ceiling onto electrics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredibly dangerous.
I've got a list of what the ground grading criteria is.
I don't obviously know how they grade it. Right. We'll just say whether we pass or fail. Go on then.
There's quite a lot. I'm only going to read out the ones that are really relevant for us. It talks about things like capacities and clubhouses. So
that's going down every season. Yeah.
So car parking, you get measured there.
Okay.
Pitch parameters, we're okay on that. Our pitch standards, technical areas.
Not all right on that. Pitch standards, fucking hell, state of our pitch.
Probably the worst our pitch has ever been.
Yeah. It gets relayed in the summer. So technical areas.
Well, if you pay for it.
Safe walkway, floodlighting. Now, I happen to know, you're probably there as well, there are maybe some issues around our floodlighting.
Yeah, only because I noticed yesterday we didn't even turn them on.
Only if we go up.
Public address system.
Well, fine, then.
Right, then we have turnstiles. Well,
they
actually,
don't work.
They've not been working.
They don't work.
Spectator accommodation.
Shit.
You've got... they will look at your stands. They'll look at the press area. We've got a press area.
My seat is broken.
When we lost to Chester in the FA Cup in
2015.
Daniel beat his seat up in anger and broke it. It's still not been fixed.
I mean, that is on him for breaking.
That's like
10
years ago, I think.
But it's still not been fixed. I mean, I've had two different season tickets since then.
Yeah.
Toilets.
Shit.
Toilets.
Right. Have you seen the photograph going around of the mould growing in the toilets?
When I saw that, I thought someone dropped a kebab.
I'm going to send you a picture right now, Kerry, of one that I got sent yesterday.
Is that the one of the mould in the toilet?
No,
it's something else in the toilet.
It's worse than that. Yeah, it's the toilet.
All right, okay, I'll have a go in there. So you've got refreshment facilities.
Abysmal.
Which
No, genuinely abysmal.
Do you know what? I just think that the whole way that you get treated in that football club, in that ground, is appalling. There was a game last season that I wanted a cup of coffee because I won't, you know, I sat behind the East Stand burger bar. I can smell it. I'm not eating it.
No.
And you know me, I pretty much eat
anything.
Well, I won't eat that.
It must be terrible but, if you've gone, I'm not eating
but,
that.
But I queued up for a coffee 5 minutes before half time. They were literally cooking a burger per order. There was nothing like that. And this lad looked at me, I went, coffee, he went, "Zah." And I'd waited 10 minutes for this. And then this coffee turned up. And it really was just no customers. I'm not having a go at the lad. Clearly no one had actually told him how we should handle a customer.
Yeah.
And it's just dreadful. Just dreadful. So disability accommodation, which I know has got better.
It's got better, but it's bad.
But I know they've got some issues.
In fairness, that's just on the ground, I think. Yeah. Obviously, we're not going to build with it.
That's difficult.
But
we had any older ground, that is going to be.
We have a sanctuary area now, I think. Don't we?
I mean, I know.
That's like a sanctuary area. Which is actually pretty impressive, I think. Yeah.
I mean, you know my mate Matt, his dad was disabled.
Yeah.
And they used to sit at the back at the West Stand. And the amount of times that all his dad saw was the back of someone who stood up.
That's what I mean.
And when asked to sit down, was just basically not stand really up.
Where's the sanctuary area?
I don't know where. I just remember April.
They just soundproof one of the boxes.
Maybe. Quite a good idea, I think.
And well, then that is a good idea.
And then you go through the dressing rooms and the medical facilities. So you look at this.
The dressing rooms are probably perfectly acceptable. I tell you what.
The referee's room, and I speak with some experience.
That is the worst room.
The referee's room is worse than what I would expect to find in step five.
Yeah, good. But right? Deserved.
You cannot swing a cat in there.
Fine.
And work out how I just said that. But you could just about get three people in there.
Yeah, I know.
And there's only enough shower room for two, and it's.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend I give a shit about the refs. So
well,
if we made them get dressed outside, I'd say fair enough.
Yeah, that's your, you know.
That's my idea. Although, actually, you know what? A slight football comment here. Fair play to the one against who we played Saturday. I can't remember that. All the shot. I thought it was quite good. There you go. That's good.
But nah, I don't know. You forgot who we've played.
I don't care, to be honest.
But that's the ground grading. That isn't the safety inspection. So I won't sit in the East Stand because I had a friend who lost a brother at Bradford, and I think about these things. And I'm actually not sure how I'd get out of my old seat in the East Grounds.
Pitch.
As I said, if I'm going to get out onto the pitch from like four rows from the back, the only way I'm doing it is to go over the seats in front of me, which are probably filled by people who are, well, they were older than me and wouldn't have got out. So basically, I'm just treading on people, and my actions will mean they won't get out.
Yeah.
So
I'll be honest, this really is a really boring comment, but having worked in health and safety, I don't know how that stand.
I don't think
that's boring at all. I actually think that's an interesting dynamic.
Let me rephrase that. I do know, not because I say loopholes, but there's bits when you read, you're like, oh, okay. Technically, that is right, but it's not a great stand.
No, I mean we've lost
because it's quite big.
Yeah, we've lost a bit of the North Bank. That's gone. You know, you just
well, it hasn't. It hasn't.
Well, it's
it hasn't.
If we got a big enough following, which we're not going to in this league,
it officially has, but it hasn't. Really.
Well, yeah,
the seats are there,
but I honestly don't know how that ground is allowed to have the people it has in it. There's no fire escapes that I can see that would work, particularly on the east side. You're quite right, Scott. Your exit's onto the pitch, but if you're four rows from the back...
Yeah.
Because if you're in the greens next to the director's box, you don't have that walkway down. You only have it on the one side. So
that's a fair point.
So you've got the roof with a hole in. I believe the West End roof's the original. It's got asbestos in it.
Probably. That makes sense. Isn't one of the bars now completely shut?
I don't know, but you've got we've
in
always
the West Stand.
There's that one that's like in the west, north, sorry, the north and south corner.
Hang on, north and south corner.
Not north, west and south corner. The sort of like.
I know the bar you mean, but yeah, I haven't
completely shut down.
I haven't been over that side for years.
I'm pretty sure the ceiling caved in and we've just not opened it.
But you've got to look and go. He hasn't put any meaningful money into that. I understand that, But
you've got to keep the upkeep of it.
You can't just let it quite literally fall to pieces. The ceilings are collapsing in your bars and your toilets and your fucking kitchens. Like,
you can't
keep doing this.
If you remember, our original plan was that our last game at Roots Hall would have been the last game of the season when we played Macclesfield, who had just been relegated out of the Football League for the first time. That was, we said, that will be the last game. The next season we would be in Fossett's Farm.
When was that? 10 years ago? More now.
And the rest. It was a sperm-shaped stadium.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, which I don't know. He hasn't really, as far as I can see, done anything meaningful to that ground at all structurally. The seats are covered in shit. Literally, at the South Stand, they couldn't sandblast them off after COVID. The state of the ground is just really, really bad, and I actually find it quite obnoxious.
It's depressing
that he wants £380 for a seat in there for the season.
Let's go on to that bit now, because this is just a big rant, really, isn't it?
What do you expect?
Do you know what? Because I'm going to make a slight point here, and then I'm going to go back to said rant. But I know we have lost five in a row, but actually the football on the pitch, or the football side of it, and what we're trying to do and trying to build is actually great.
Well, have you not noticed, we've been sitting here now for almost an hour and we've hardly spoken about football.
And that's the annoying thing, because it's actually... Yeah. I know we have... I'm not saying, because Saturday was actually poor and it's probably the worst I've seen us play under Kev. But with what we're trying to do...
We look burnt out.
We look exhausted. We've mentioned this, we can't replace players. It is what it is, but it actually is quite good. But we're not even going to mention the football,
but none of us professional footballers, but we all work, we all got jobs, and we all get a time where we've worked really hard for a while in really difficult circumstances.
Yeah.
And then those circumstances go away, and then you kind of, your level comes down.
Yeah, I mean, you're back to normality, I guess.
There's another Kerryism coming up now. When I did the Brexit stuff, that was nuts. Yeah. And we worked in this mad environment. And then actually, when we were told to stand down, you kind of looked around and went, well, what do I do now? Yeah. And I think the players were in that kind of...
I actually understand. I actually totally get your point. Mm. Because it's pretty much since they've been paid. I've seen people link to it. I'm not linking it. It's obviously... They've not got paid and gone touch. We're going to toss it off now. Do you know what I mean? Like... It's just, like you said, it's all kind of now back to normal, but it's still not, and it's weird.
Yeah.
And they're...
Well, it goes back to what you touched on earlier.
Physically. Exhausted.
Yeah, we've been paid. The players have been paid, the tax bill has been paid. Oh, but our best players got the raging hump and left.
Yeah. Hmm. Which has probably pissed off the players both ways. Probably one because he has left. They're thinking, we've all stood together. Why haven't you? But then there might be one or two also going. I'm not saying that I don't know this, but there potentially is one or two going, I could have done the same here.
Yeah.
I could have gone.
Yeah. It's too late now.
I actually don't think there is.
Because I have now been paid.
You know, but, like you say, so that's really brought the morale of the camp down, I think.
Yeah.
And everything added up, the pressures, it's just got up, it gathered whatever you want to call it, and it's kind of come crumbling down.
Yeah. I honestly think, and I don't want to put people off supporting the football club, I honestly think the sooner this season's consigned to the record books, the better.
Oh, now I do, yeah, because we're going to end up finishing about 10th.
Yeah, you know, to be fair...
If I'm going to be really... I'm not like this now, but annoyingly, we're still on. I'm going to put it out, it is. We're playing crap,
we've got,
but it is still on.
We've got a favourable
running.
We win
that game in hand, we're 8th. I think we're 5 points off, but we're in it still.
Can you name me anyone in the National League this season who is above us, who we have beaten?
Barnet
once when they were terrible.
Yep.
Wheelstone.
Wheelstone are above us.
It's because we've now dropped.
Yeah, that's the issue, because we have now dropped.
So but yeah, before I was being pedantic, I know. When we were 6th, 7th, our record against the teams that were above us was not good. We took a point off Wrexham at home, took a point off Notts at home, and we'd beaten Barnet. And I think that's it.
But ultimately, though, all at that point, all that suggests, which I'm absolutely fine with this, is we're just not good enough for top 7. I'm fine with that.
Nah.
And just hopefully you'd normally consolidate and you'd go to 4 or 5 players, thanks but no thanks. You'd bring 4 or 5 in and then you go again.
Yeah.
But that unfortunately isn't going to happen.
I mean, it worries me. I mean, I think last season with Stockport and Wrexham, and this season with Wrexham and Notts County, this league's been a bit difficult.
It's been a bit weird, isn't it?
But because you've had two teams in each season that have been financially on a much better foot than everyone else.
Yeah.
And Wrexham not going up last year didn't help this league.
But the thing is, you've potentially got an outcome this year where one of them, again, doesn't go up.
I can honestly see Woking are the most difficult side to beat in this competition.
Well, okay, well, we'll just very, very quickly talk about football.
Yeah, let's carry on talking football for a slight
second. So I've
before
got
we go back on the seasons.
I've got a prediction. I know Ede knows it. And it's a bit of a weird one to kind of say out loud. So, personally, as a side note, I think Wrexham and Notts County are both going to finish on over 100 points. Wrexham on 94, Notts on 91.
Yeah.
They're both going to surely get over 100 points, which is insane for the fifth tier.
It's insane considering one of them could not.
It's insane in any level.
So this comes to my theory. So, Wrexham, but scenario A, Wrexham win the league. I think Notts County quite comfortably win the playoffs. However, if Notts County win the league, I'm not 100% certain that Wrexham win the playoffs. They've got an erratic one in their locker.
Which is weird, isn't it? Because considering obviously Wrexham are
I've just sat here and said they're both going to get over 100 points. But
well, no, it's in, at the moment, it's in Wrexham's
hands. The reason for that being, the reason behind my theory, Wrexham concede too many goals.
They go out
and win 5-3.
They have them weird guys. So they have that one game where all of a sudden it kind of falls down.
Yeah,
a bit.
So in a one-game shootout, like a playoff game, they could throw that away.
And it is a one-game
shootout. I
hope it does.
That's what I mean. But I hope they both go up. For levelling the playing field for the rest of the league, I hope they both go up. They're obviously both good enough to go up, and they'll both do well in the football league.
There's several things here. We saw last year in Grimsby turn Wrexham over, nobody saw that coming.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. It was like 5-4, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, 6-5, I think. It was ridiculous.
I think it was 6-5.
It was a ridiculous game.
Anyway, no, that was this year. That
was Dover last year.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. No, you're right.
That's all football.
But there's three or four games there in the last year that they've conceded an insane amount of goals.
But I actually think Woking are the hardest side to beat in this competition. I just think they're really well organised.
Yeah.
You know, they take shithousery to a new level. It works, and good luck to them. I can see what Woking calls on a surprise of powers. I think it really strengthens the argument that you need three up from this competition.
Oh, of course you do, yeah.
But if Notts County and Wrexham go, you're looking around next year, because the two teams coming down, I'm going to say Rochdale are probably going to be one.
They'll be nowhere near it.
And Hartlepool or Crawley, I would imagine, will be the other one.
Hartlepool, I reckon.
I think Hartlepool are in 3-4. Neither of those two teams are going to come in and go, look at us, we're lots of money.
No. So that's what I mean about levelling the playing field.
I think if you're Chesterfield, you're going, that looks good for us.
Yep.
And I think if we'd have not been in an embargo this year.
Yeah,
yeah, no, I'd agree.
And
yeah.
If we could get our act together.
We would be going, well, actually, we've got a right good chance.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
There'd probably be about 12 teams at fancy.
But, you know, you look at some of the sides that come up. Nobody reckoned on Sutton coming up when they did. Mm-hmm. Forest Green when they did. Burton Albion when they did. Accrington when
Barrow.
They did. Barrow and Harrogate together. At the beginning of the season, none of those sides would be looking.
So that's what I mean. Like, what 3 years ago, maybe four? I think it was three. Harrogate and Barrow come up from this division. Now, with the greatest respect to them, 3 or 4 years later, you're looking at the prospect of Notts County and Wrexham coming up.
Yeah.
Which are going to be, relative to the level, they're going to be juggernauts.
Yeah.
So that's a bit mad how the quality of this division has just skyrocketed in the last 3 years.
I think it's a temporary thing. I think, obviously, Wrexham had been around for, I think it's their 16th season in this league.
Yeah, it's been a long time. You know, it's about summer.
Obviously, they've got the Hollywood money. They, you know, they can just...
Good answer, mate, honestly.
You know, Wrexham probably would hold their own in League One quite comfortably.
That's what, and it's become quite fashionable, I think, to hate on them, just because it's a jealousy thing that they've got money. We'd all love it. Yeah. And yeah,
if they come across as two really decent blokes as well. Yeah. If they come across as arseholes, I'd be like,
I'll tell you what. They put when we did our crowd surfing, a third of the money came from Wrexham.
I don't dislike them at all.
You know, if anyone from Wrexham listens to this, I hope they win the league.
I don't think they do, mate. But
no, I know. I hope
mate, we can't even get enough people from South End listening.
No, I hope they win the league and they're very successful in what they do. Notts County,
100%. Good luck to them.
You know, if you're going to 100 points, you deserve to go up. But obviously, as we saw last year elsewhere, 100 points doesn't always get
you. That's what I mean. And I just think it does really, really add legs to the argument of free up. And that's not even to suit us.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to be one of the three.
I mean, as we know, to cut relegated out of League Two,
you've got to be barbaric, haven't you?
You know, you've got to be. To think actually how close we didn't come to getting relegated out of League Two, if Scunthorpe hadn't scored a late equaliser.
Yeah.
We would have stayed.
Well, this has kind of always been my argument with with the sort of the attitude towards. You touched on it there like a couple of years ago. You spoke to Ron. What's the strategy if we get relegated? Mm, I think that might have been before we started recording actually. But
and it was Lead.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Someone
ends
own calls.
No, I've completely lost where I was. So yeah, it's,
this is so perfect.
So you know, I've got it. I think. So, to stay up in League Two,
you've got to be
the 22nd best team in that league. Yeah. And I've gone on record and said this before. So, the blasé attitude that we'll be fine, this is all fine, like, we won't get relegated. If you'd have just, bucked your ideas up, actually looked like you knew football, never mind the business, looked like you knew the game and understood the pyramid... It's a hell of a lot easier to be the 22nd best team rather than have to come into the National League and to be guaranteed anything. You've got to win the thing.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean,
one of you might have been in the room when we had one of those meetings at Roots Hall.
I think this is what I was.
I think Ed was there.
He just got Noah Ranger back.
No, the same one. But I think it was Sam Hart.
No, it was Noah Ranger and John Akindi.
Oh, I think that's
so. Niall Ranger was on his way back, and John Akindi was going to sign from wherever he didn't come from.
Yeah. Are you sure that was in person? Because we re-signed Niall Ranger during the COVID season.
Yeah,
it was in the club.
Did we ever sign John Akindi?
No, we didn't.
We didn't, did we?
No, we didn't. And Ron said, "We're all right. We've got lots of money. We've got lots of players. Basically, most teams are having to play twice a week." We won't have any problems because we can play Team A on Saturday and Team B on midweek, and we've got two strikers.
Because we've got this massive squad.
That is honestly that's
what I mean. He doesn't have a clue.
Tell me you don't understand.
It's like playing FIFA. Football. It's like playing fucking FIFA. I've got Team A and Team B, so they'll play Saturday, and then they'll all get a rest on Tuesday. We'll play the other team.
To be fair, I simplify that a bit. I'm not sure, but Mosley might have been sitting next to me.
Well, I went to one where
I bet he would have just burst out laughing.
Mark Mosley laugh.
I went to one where Mark Mosley was sitting there.
I'm going to say something about Mark Mosley. I think if you could get... If anyone, any football manager that's ever been in the Football League was given a shittier hand than him, I'd like to see what he
does. Oh,
yeah. You come into a team that's in embargo.
Right.
Yeah. You come into a team that has had possibly the worst record in the history of the Football League. It was there or thereabouts. Doncaster had something in the 1930s.
But
it's kind of like if we didn't get Mark Moseley, I liked Mark Moseley, but it was proper wrong time.
Yeah. So you don't then give that job to a guy that has managed to. Two levels below that doesn't have a black book. Yeah. You need to go and find another Paul.
We said this as much as we've gone on record a million and one times and said, can't stand Phil Brown. If we'd have got him back at the start of that season, I wouldn't have liked it, but I'd have got it. That would have made much more sense than employing a rookie in Mark Moseley.
Yeah, I think we've all agreed this in our conversations that if Phil Brown had got the job a month earlier, we'd have probably stayed up.
I don't know. I don't know about that. Remember when he wore that cravat? Anyway, moving on.
Yeah,
no. I like the
move on from that. I don't want to talk about it.
Let's move on from Phil Brown. But again, you don't blame Mark Moseley. You don't blame him for taking an opportunity that he possibly wasn't ready for, because he could have done.
But you look at that on a much larger scale with Frank Lampard. He was never ready for the Chelsea job, but he's never going to turn it down, is he?
No, of course not.
So Mark Molesley's done incredibly well in the lower divisions. His stock was very high at that time. Mark, do you want to come manage in the Football League? He's not going to say no.
No, of course I don't blame him at all.
No, I don't blame him, but it was... we'll never know if it was right person, wrong time, but it was certainly the wrong time.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. We understand that the journey as a supporter isn't always smooth sailing, but rest assured you're not alone. There's a vast network of fellow fans who share your passion and may be experiencing similar challenges. Honesty is key in any relationship. If your friend asks you how you are feeling, tell them, honestly. If you're going through a difficult time, let them know. Opening up about how you are feeling can really make a difference. After all, they are your mates for a reason. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
But there you go. The common thing that you've mentioned there is, and I'll even take one back quickly, Sol Campbell came in, a month later, embargo, couldn't sign anyone. Molesey comes in, his whole time pretty much, embargo, couldn't sign anyone.
That was a weird one because we could sign players but we couldn't register them.
Well, I think that's,
what's the difference?
Well, you wouldn't have been paying them, but you say so you're just giving them a contract, they can't play.
We had those two boys from Macclesfield, didn't we? Yeah. We signed.
That's what I'm saying.
They signed a contract.
They got allocated squad numbers and everything.
We couldn't register them.
I believe we paid them.
The players, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you meant Macclesfield. I was like, no chance.
We paid the players.
No, wait, that makes sense. Because they would have actually gone, what's the point?
One of them was that... I've forgotten one of their names. Yeah, one of them was off of Derby.
Was it?
That was it.
Did they ever actually ever play for us?
No.
I mean...
But that's what I'm saying. So he had a bargo.
But you go back to the whole Sol Campbell. I mean, Sol Campbell was choice number two because we had the whole fan going in with Henrik Larsson.
Oh my God, remember that?
How was he second choice?
Because we were mud. Like, who, and what manager with any reasonable stock would have come here at that time?
We all know the story of Kevin Bond and his...
No, go on, tell it.
Don't tell it.
I'll probably get sued. But
Kevin Bond is not going to listen to this.
the story goes that Harry Redknapp was the manager for the end of that season.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah.
Couldn't do the job because of commitment.
This is so depressing. Why are we talking about this?
You do know this, though, right?
For whatever reason, Kevin Bond gets given the job over the summer, which Ron admits was a mistake. Kevin leaves after whatever it was, seven games and seven defeats.
Yeah, there is that theory that the end of the season that we stayed up with that Sunderland game, yes, there's a theory.
Yes.
So this is all alleged.
Yes.
So I'm not saying anything is confirmed.
Well, I'm saying it is. It's obvious. Isn't
the theory is, well, your so, words, so not me. Mine. Harry Redknapp was the manager, and Kevin Bond was basically a front man.
Yeah.
And when you look at that and you think, Harry Redknapp, that's got a very nice, cushy life down on the south coast, why is he driving all the way to Rochdale? Just to support his mate.
Yeah.
He was the manager.
There was one of the two local journalists, and I can't think which one of the two it was, so I'm not going to put either Chris or Brian on the spot here, did put something on Twitter to say, I can't believe the news I'm getting out of Roots Hall. And that was Harry Redknapp related, and then it just went dead, i.e. they were told not to go any further, or it was...
Can you imagine if that actually, like, when it come out, like when it was a brand new announcement that we've got Harry Redknapp as our manager, I'd have been like, what?
Well, remember the Mick McCarthy statement?
Oh.
I mean,
we've gone from, we're talking about current affairs, we've gone to this. It's so depressing.
Mick
McCarthy. There's absolutely no structure to this, by the way. We're just chatting now.
We've all got Facebook memories when they come up. I mean, I've got stuff coming back from 2009 where I'm moaning about the corruptness of my the chairman of my football club and how Martin must go out. And here we are, 15 years later. That's actually shit, man.
There will have been something that happened 15 years ago.
The common denominator for all of this is the chairman.
It's wrong.
And it's not even a case of he's just not funded it properly. He's actually just not funded it half the time.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm saying. It just all goes back to an embargo. You can't... You could give... Oh, it's cliche, and I hate using this sort of argument, but
You could have given Pep Guardiola the job. If he can't sign anyone and he's having to work with inferior players, yeah, he might have made them a bit... Well, okay, he would have made them better than Molesy could have, obviously, if you get my point. But nothing's going to happen. Like, we're not all of a sudden going to be top of League Two because we got a better manager in. No one would have kept us up there.
You need better players.
You need better players. We tried to get better players in because we were so in the shit. And in fairness, maybe at that point, because one was in the shit and two, we had a manager that was inexperienced, maybe no one wanted something. All right, fair enough. But we didn't have the players. We this came out the other day, right? See if you remember this bloke. Do you remember someone called Jacob Menis?
No.
I had to look like Google this bloke, and I do remember him now. One of the most pathetic signs, not as him as a person or a player, crying out for a striker, deadline day, like 11th hour or whatever, delighted to announce the signing of a midfielder.
We even teased it. The club even teased it. Don't go to bed just yet. Or like, because it was a late one. Signed Jacob Mellis. Yeah.
Right,
But this is what I'm saying. But this is what I'm,
who is like a defensive midfielder.
Other players, I don't want to talk about it, but Noel Ranger, we signed him. What? Why? Because no one else wanted to come.
Because nobody else wanted to come here and nobody else would have signed Noel Ranger.
That's what I mean.
So, Ron had a Noel Ranger fetish.
Who did he
have a bigger hard on for? Noel Ranger or Mick McCarthy?
Harry Redknapp. There you go. That was that one. But there you go. That's
I tell you who's not happy. We'll get on to this one. The sponsors ain't happy, are they?
Well, can we talk about the sponsors?
PG Site Services are not happy.
Can we talk about sponsors? I don't.
Well, know yeah, we can talk about it.
I don't know who PG Site Services are.
No.
Or actually what PG Site Services do.
Well, I know what they do.
I know what they do.
So, you know, I look at their Twitter from time to time and I do think it's a bit strange.
Not very professional, is it?
You know, I don't know whether they've... You know, why would a sponsor need to know that the club was being sold? Because your role is to sponsor the club, unless you've done something else that means the sale of the club means that you need to tweet about it 2 days after it's happened.
It's starting to look like, and do you know what, maybe pulled the mic out. I'm not going to say it. I'll say it off record, but...
Well, I don't know.
It's pure speculation, yeah. So I think it's probably best not to say anything.
Well, I'm saying they're obviously more involved than
the shirt sponsor.
The shirt sponsor.
Okay, there we go. We've said it.
They've obviously, well, no. In this sense, actually, they themselves said this. They've given more money.
Yeah,
more money. So
no, but there's got to be an even still from that a deeper layer.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So that maybe they've put in X amount on the promise or on the agreement of whatever, and that now may change.
I mean, I'm not going to hammer anyone that wants to come in and sponsor the football club. Because I remember the season we had Martin Dorn in front of our shirts because we couldn't get anybody.
5-year deal.
You know.
I thought it was three.
Oh, is it three?
It'd be interesting if their name's still in front of our shirts next year, isn't it? But I just find that if you're in business, maybe Twitter isn't the place to kind of do that kind of stuff. I just think it's a bit weird.
I think it's hilarious. I love it.
It's hilarious on one hand, but then on the other hand, it's so unprofessional.
Oh, of course it is, but it's hilarious.
You know, the stuff that appeared a couple of months ago that seemed like someone was just drunk tweeting. It's
probably
like,
was. That's what I'm saying. Isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm just.
Do you remember when they sued the club? and then deleted the tweet.
Oh, yeah, they did that.
That's why it's just funny. It's so unfair.
It's just funny.
And I know we're in, for want of a. Well, it's not this bad, but what I'm going to call a dog and duck league, and we've got dog and duck sponsors. It's just funny.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm actually grateful because it's actually, from what I was told, a really good deal. So I'm actually not knocking them, but it's just funny.
No, I mean, I was told it was a really good deal. Some lot of work went into it. And I just find, you know, I just find that Twitter's a strange world. I've only really dabbled into Twitter quite recently.
Yeah.
Because they let you say and Facebook don't, frankly. And
it's the only one that I've got to beat.
You have to beat me now.
Yeah. So
hang on, let me take a picture with a time stamp on it.
I hope you keep this in. I did.
I'll keep it in, but normally I got a beep C bombs.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You can... No, like this bit of conversation just about the fact that I have C bomb. What was I talking about?
Twitter.
Twitter.
And you PG site services.
Yeah, I just find that Twitter's a strange place. I'm just like, I don't expect to see that on my Twitter feed. I would expect to see supportive messages.
I didn't expect to see Southend 1 All Shot 2 on my Twitter feed, to be fair. But,
I didn't expect to see that Southend was up for sale.
I nearly went. I was that close to going on Saturday. I nearly went. Because I was going to go somewhere else, but
almost didn't go. If it wasn't for the rain, we wouldn't have gone. We were due to go somewhere else.
Yeah, but I was, and it was like I actually,
because we don't go to games, like, obviously.
I got the screen up to get a ticket, and I thought he's still there, isn't he? He's still there. He's the place still smells of Ron Martin.
Did you pay to get in, Kurt?
No, I didn't go.
Oh, you didn't go, is that?
I wanted to watch hashtag instead.
After this 20-minute rant we've just had that's gone back to Sol Campbell and God knows what. This can look back round to season ticket sales,
I talk about hashtag very quickly?
No,
it's going to link straight into your season ticket. Me and Rich went there. I think hashtag's a bit of a difference.
Think it's really, really impressive.
10 seconds to mention the hashtag.
I think it's really impressive they've broken the Premier League like number of wins in a row in the Isthmian North. I think that's really impressive.
But people look at me and it's a different model, but we went there with lovely reception on the gate. They're giving freebies out. There was a little bit of a community thing going on there. You know, they got a little band of supporters that do their bit. It was really friendly, really supportive. All the things you don't get at Roots Hall.
I've just fallen asleep standing up.
You might not, but
I won't mention them again.
I think that's the last time it'll be mentioned.
It's a long walk home from here, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, this loop
season
tickets, which is what we're going to mention before.
This was always going to happen.
About Sol Campbell and whatever. So, somebody's worked out that £380 season ticket is a 29% increase.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fine? I was going to word that better, but
do you know what? I think it'd be really interesting. He says, kind of knowing the answer, to get the season ticket costs for everyone in the National League and everyone in League Two, and do a compare and contrast. Right. And I would be surprised if there are many teams in the division above that are charging as much as we are. And if you talk about what we talked about, what you get when you get into Roots Hall, I mean, forget the football. You always know that you can have a really good season and get 100 points, or you can have a Sol Campbell type season and get 3. But the whole thing around the whole Roots Hall experience is a dreadful, awful thing. And if it wasn't for your mates that go, really, you'd question it. I just think it's an outrageous price rise.
This is my issue with it. I actually have zero issue with the price going up, because you just look at the state of the way of the world at the moment. I think it was obvious it was going to go up. I didn't think it was going to go up by £85.
No. I mean, you look at the world in general, you've got a cost of living crisis. We're all paying more money for our services. Our food bills are going to go up. Football's a luxury. So I remember the days when I couldn't afford to go to football. I had a mortgage and kids. I couldn't do football, so I didn't go. But there'll be people that will look at that and go, well, I can't afford that. There'll be season ticket holders that will just go, I've been priced out. Or, because it's football and it's that funny business, they will make a sacrifice somewhere else that they maybe shouldn't do. I just think it's completely out of touch.
That's what I'm saying. With everything. I don't think there's an issue with the increase. I know you're saying that you don't agree with it at all, but I think there was obviously going to be an increase. I think it was obvious it was going to happen. In my opinion, I just don't see how you can justify 29%.
I can see that their bills have gone up.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think it was.
And you know, you expect to have some kind of inflation rate. I think it's 11%.
Yeah, it's 9 or
but
whatever it is.
Was it, there were 295 last year for an adult, wasn't it?
295. Which is actually, I'll be honest with you, really good money. I'm happy paying it.
That was a fair price.
More than happy paying it.
But it's just gone to the point of.
Yeah. Because don't get me wrong, it's £340 if you renew it within X, Y, you know, whatever it is, window, and £380 afterwards. I'm not renewing. Well, I'll tell you my stance quickly. I'm not renewing at all. I'm only renewing once he sold the club. So I won't be going back next year if it comes to August, whatever it is, 3rd, say, first game of the season. I don't know. who we're playing.
Altrincham.
Altrincham at home. There you go. And he's still there. I'm not going.
I mean, the other thing, walk-up ticket on the day is £20 at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not paying that either.
Which I think is quite a lot for the fifth tier. And it's £18 if you buy in advance. Which I think is about right for the fifth tier, if I'm honest. £18, what I'd expect to pay. You'd expect those prices would go up by the same amount as the season tickets gone up. So are we actually saying £23 is now going to be the cost of on the walk-up ticket to Root Sauder on a Saturday?
There's a lot of money in it for the 50, that is £23. He's right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just
basically. Well, it's going to be more, isn't it? It can't be the same.
I mean,
because what's the point of getting a season ticket?
Yeah. We all know.
It's going to be 25, isn't it?
Yeah, we all know people that don't get a season ticket because they can't go on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Saturday footballers, for example, game's called off, I go to Root Sauder. All of a sudden, £23, actually, am I going to do that? I think it's self-defeating.
No, I do. Well, let's sort of go, if we talk about the support groups have got together and we've said, right, they haven't said not buy one, but they've said let's hold the money back for the moment. Let's try and get some answers out of Ron. And Ron supposedly agreed to a meeting next week about it, but let's see. My personal stance would be, and this is going to be an unpopular, my personal stance is don't buy one at all.
That's been my stance for the last 2 years.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I don't not want to go to Southend, even though it is a shithole. I want to go there. But I just can't let that man dictate or...
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to give him any money. And someone say, well, he doesn't see that money because he has to put money in. I don't care. It's helping him fund his ridiculous vanity projects that we spoke about. I don't care anymore.
I think it's making a stand.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We talk about the process and people say, I don't agree with this, don't agree with that. And, but what about this, what about that? Well, I'll tell you what, something that I can actually directly affect now that causes no harm to anyone in that sense, no physical harm, don't go.
I'm spending £380 on fireworks.
Yeah, could be. I'm more than happy to go to every single away game next year. If he's still here for the whole next season and we have a club and we're still competing, I am more than happy to go to all 23 away games next season.
I mean, I still do away games.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem going. I'll go to an away game.
I'm going to go to more to make a point of it.
Yeah, I think I've been to more away games than home games this year.
You probably have.
I think I probably have, but I don't have a problem with it. So it's not, it's just a lot of money. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about the season ticket, I think withholding the money is good because it's forcing that short term, the money you think you're going to get, we're not going to give you. And I'm also not going to tell anybody they can and can't buy a season ticket because it's not
for me to say. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't do it.
And, I know there'll be people that will have already got their season tickets because that's what they're
doing. What they do on Saturdays,
What they do on Saturdays.
We don't know people's, but some people might be lonely, if you know what I mean.
Are we going to play the blink game that we get to the end of the cheap period and on the day before it's like 2,000 people going to go to get the season ticket?
Well, I hope we're stronger than that.
Are they going to go actually for the sake of £40 and then we get back to, well, actually, can you afford £40? Is it your gas bill you're not going to pay? And I just think that maybe he's going to sit there and go, they'll wait. We won't do anything. They'll get out the cheap zone. We'll get into when it costs the maximum amount of money, and I make £40 off everybody. And that's the thing that worries me about this.
I hope we're strong because we are.
Yeah.
Strength in numbers. Yeah. It's just that's just.
I always got a season ticket because it was easier for me to just go, there's the money, I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And I would go to 22 out of 23 games. There'd always be one for some reason. I was working or. Obviously, I had Rat Boy 1 with me. And he will listen to this, so he will know who I mean. And it was just dead easy that he had one as well. But I don't need a season ticket now because I could just go when I want.
Yeah.
And actually not having a season ticket gives you that freedom that
so you go, actually, I'm not going to go to
it. I've got a cold, I can't go this week. You've changed the game tonight, I can't get to it. I'm working and stuck on a train. It's whatever reason, you haven't got that... I've paid for it and I can't go.
Yeah.
Actually not having a season ticket, what benefit does a season ticket give you? You get the same seat in the stadium every week. Some people like that. And you get first dibs if you get Chelsea away in the FA Cup. Well, people, that ain't happening. So actually the only benefit you get is you get the same seat.
You get your people around and all that.
And you get a few add-ons.
Yeah.
But actually if you don't have a season ticket for a season, it gives you that flexibility to go, not tonight for me.
I think one thing in particular last season as well was they started to try and do this point system for away tickets, didn't,
they?
Didn't they? But that's not been a thing at all this season.
Well, it hasn't needed to be.
Yeah. No. And anybody that knew what the National League was like just knew that that was going to be ridiculous from the get-go, even before clubs started.
Well, I do understand the idea of it, yeah. But it just ended up being...
There was a viewpoint, I think, that we were going to go into the National League and we were going to be playing on Essex Senior League standard grounds, and that was never going to be the case. No. The only ones you'd have a problem
with... But there was a handful, wasn't there?
It was Wilston on the bank holiday.
Yeah. The I think Maidenhead was one, obviously. With it,
yeah, and I still remember we had a bit of a panic about getting tickets for that, and I had to go down and pretend it was Barbara. You remember? Kerry, why are you pretending to be Barbara? And the other one was Maidenhead, looked like it was a bit tricky because it was quite a small ground.
That's what I mean. No,
but you don't need one. I know a few people got a bit excited about how many points they'd got. And I think I've been to the first 8 away games and I had no points officially on their system.
Yeah. It was weird.
I think I had the opposite. I had maximum points and I hadn't done all the games up to that point. I think I'd missed one away game, that is. And I had like the maximum points for it. So there's the evidence. It didn't work.
Yeah. But that's my viewpoint on it. You know, I won't be going till... At the very least... He announces his exit, Trevor, if you know what I mean.
I've just seen the picture Scott sent me to the toilet.
Have you just seen it? Yeah.
We'll put it on our...
No, Instagram. don't. Really.
We'll put that on Instagram.
That's out of the toilet, on the Patreon. Yeah, so...
Now we'll go on another slice.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my view. I won't be going until we at least... Well, I know he has, in theory, announced his exit strategy, I guess, because it's... Well, it's an exit strategy of sorts, isn't it? The club is now up for sale.
This was what kind of made me laugh a little bit. People were always... People that still weren't... Right, I'm going to rephrase it. Not that you weren't happy, because nothing's happened yet. People that were still moaning. Mm. It's like, you wanted an exit strategy, you've got it.
Yeah.
What more do you want? He wasn't going to rock up and go... I've sold it, by the way.
Yeah.
Again,
this is how I'm going to do it. I want X amount, I'm talking to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, you don't... It's not like selling... Like a second-hand car.
It's going to be a complicated thing. And I think a lot of the WhatsApp groups, and we were in some of them, and the Twitter feeds were... Like somebody posted on Twitter that a Qatari jet had landed at Southend Airport. I mean, brilliant. But you ain't going to get a Qatari Emirate going to come over and do it. Unless, you know, there's a different reality happens. I think a lot of people have kind of geared themselves up that he was really going to go... And he'd be announcing that he was going to hand over. I think we'd have known if that was the case. I think someone somewhere would have picked up the fact that this was happening. Mm. So I think it's an exit strategy. We've been arguing for an exit strategy.
That's what I'm getting at.
And like, I agree with you. Absolutely.
At that initial first stage, I'm not quite sure what else you wanted.
You can't do much else on from that.
I mean, you know, glass half full, half empty, whichever way. He doesn't find a buyer. He proves he wants too much money for something.
This is
worth.
My issue.
These are the hurdles we're going to get. But actually, I looked at that press conference, and I saw a Ron Martin that you don't see in the public gaze. You know, I think he knows the game's up.
Hmm.
I think he knows this is it. He can't afford to do what he's got to do. He needs some help and getting rid of the football club. Which he fucking loves, of course. Is
you idiot?
Yeah, is his move, and I don't think he wants to do it, but I think he recognises it. The question now is he going to be greedy in negotiations?
Oh, this is my issue.
Or if somebody comes on and goes, I'll take it off your hands, and all the shit that comes with it—the protests outside your door, the Martin out things, the most unpopular man in South East Essex—and I'll give you £5 million.
He's not accepting £5 million.
And you walk away, you still got your stadium, you still got your build.
What do you think he's accepting then?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I don't know.
The reason I say that, I know that's a really crap answer, but so he said he put £25 million in, didn't he?
Yeah,
over 25 years, which is naffle. In obviously that sounds ridiculous because £1 million a year to each of us is life changing amounts of money.
Yeah.
But in the football world, this all goes back to how out of touch he is. £1 million a year in a football club is not a lot of money.
No, not now. Not now.
Well, not for a failure.
Yeah, but he has consistently said he'll write the debt off.
But that's...
on the premise, like, really, that he was the owner of the football club, had the stadium.
But he had still got the stadium. The stadium's not part of this, is it?
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. No, the stadium is not part of the sale.
I mean,
it could be. He said an ideal world would be.
I mean, I'm going to be a bit unusually kind to him here.
Go on.
Is that
actually, we can edit it out. It's fine.
But he's put a lot of his life into building that stadium.
I don't begrudge him that. Yeah.
But you've done it on the back of killing my football club, essentially. If you can find someone that can put the life back in my football club, I've got no problem with your stadium being there.
No.
Or if your stadium doesn't work, somebody taking hold of Roots Hall and turn it into something better. I'm not sure how you actually do that without flattening it and starting again.
I think that is the only way.
I think I'd rather that, a stand at a time, maybe.
If I'm honest with you. But the big thing is if we are still sitting here in June and July, are we getting players come through the door? Or is the Rod Martin, pay my bills, do it? And if we're still sitting here in June and July, if I've understood it rightly, he's run out of money by that point.
Yeah.
Because that's what his bridging loan at the beginning was meant to do.
Yeah.
So, as I say,
do you think with that then, he needs a sale before June?
I think that's why he's kind of said in an ideal world they'll be in here for the start of pre-season.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that ideal world is, yes, in an ideal world, it's in a real world I need.
Yeah.
I would like to think, I'm connecting dots here, I'd like to think...
Something's lined up.
There is a conversation
going on. I think so as well, I'm basing that purely on a hunch. But,
and I know some people listening to this know that I know someone, and I will tell you now it's not that someone.
Mm-hmm.
So,
There's genuinely not. It's just like you say, looking at the dots and going, hang on, if it pieces together.
But is he going to find a buyer in 3 months that's going to be able to come in and unpick the complications?
No, I mean, let's face it, Kerry, you can't buy a house in 3 months.
No. Well, you and I have both proved that.
Exactly.
So have I.
Yeah. Three of us.
all three of us in the last year
have
proven it. You can't even buy a house that quickly.
So the interesting thing, again, I don't really pretend to understand this, is the company's house record.
That's what I was about to say. Well, sorry, I wasn't about to say that. Yeah. But just a quick point. If you are a buyer, you're going to want to look at the up-to-date accounts.
You want the accounts, don't you?
Well, it's not the accounts I'm talking about.
That's what I was saying. When you said the company's house,
I jumped the gun a bit. It was the owner coming off.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So technically, it's a vacant position. I don't know that.
I don't know.
In theory, I don't know that works.
I don't know. I need someone cleverer than me to explain that to me.
Yeah. Surely you want the up-to-date accounts.
But that's an absolute bare minimum. I want to see your accounts.
Yeah,
you know. So
even last year would be a start.
So that could be a problem.
So if he's come out and made this statement that ideally you'd like a change of ownership in the close season
in the next 3 months,
which we know to be June.
Mm.
If you've learned nothing over the last 2 years, you know June is your close season. you know. So he's talking 3 months. I don't think he's going to do that from a standing start unless he's talking to somebody. But again, that's all pure conjecture.
Yeah. He must be talking to somebody. He must be.
I mean, we've heard names going around. We won't mention him here. We've heard of consortiums. We've heard of ex-footballers, ex-players, all being involved.
And again, that's not something... We're not trying to be the whole...
We know something new, though.
Like,
no.
If you go online and do the research... Well, that stuff is there to be found.
Yeah. When Stan got involved like last year. Didn't he come in and said, "I've got people that are ready to run a football club"?
Yeah.
So there you go, straight away. We've mentioned earlier, he put that Ron in concept with.
But Carl Reeder put his head above the.
Yeah.
Above the. He said it's not him.
Yeah.
The person that I was talking to said it's not him. We've heard of another famous footballing pairing that was sniffing around, and I got this via Ron actually, that they're not involved. So is there someone else he's been talking to that we don't know about?
And is that why he's always given the cold shoulder to the likes of Carl, to the likes of Mr. X, who I won't divulge his name, because that one genuinely wasn't public knowledge.
No.
But is that why Ron has always kind of brushed them off and kept them at arm's length, because he has been speaking to someone?
Or has he been silent for the last 5 weeks in this mad world of turmoil we've been? Basically to say, I've not got anything to tell you because I'm going to tell you this later.
Yeah. So I'll announce on the evening on Friday, and then maybe hopefully a week, or not a week, a month later,
this is being lined up for the summer.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, I from a personal point of view, I'd like to have a new owner in place in time for pre-season.
Well, this is what I was about to say.
In time for Kevin.
Yeah.
To get the, his team to get the players in that he wants. To get everybody in that club paid up to date, and that's really important.
Yeah.
You know, that we shouldn't be relying on someone to sell us a ticket that's not been paid for 3 months. That's not how it works.
So when you spend when that 5 million goes.
And and I'm not going to spend £308 on a season ticket because I don't think it's value for money, and people forget value. But I have no problem in going back to Roots Hall for the first game of the season and enjoying my football again, even if the team's crap.
I'll sort of go one further. I'll have to pay £380 as long as it ain't going to him.
But it's going back to the anal sex analogy. That won't be happening. You can fall in love with your girlfriend, and you've got to give the new guy a chance not to fuck her up the arse. But if someone's come in and given that amount of money, you're going to assume they've got an amount of money, and things will be more positive.
God, can you imagine how good the team could be if he actually gets his players that he wants? Imagine like the manager would get the players they actually want. I'm not saying like, we haven't signed anyone we don't want, that's obvious, but what I mean is imagine we got our first choice picks.
So like what we were saying earlier, the two that we know of.
Yeah.
Dallas and Marias.
Can you imagine how,
but at that point, and they're just two that we know
I'd
of.
I'd probably be one of them hype, like over the top fans that might go, that goes, we might win the fucking league.
But you look at the players he bought in the summer, you look at, you know, they were all players that have been the best players at their club. Lomas,
Gus.
Scott
Morris,
Mooney was the best player. Mooney was the best player I saw last.
Even though it wasn't in the summer, it was last January. But Powell, these were all standout players at their club.
Cardwell, So everyone they've bought in has been a decent player. There's no one that's coming. I mean, even the boy Jack Woods banging him in down at Tonbridge. I think he might be a player that we'll see next year.
What's really stifling him is the five subs in this league.
Yeah.
That's why we've loaned him out, because if you have seven subs like the Football League,
you're cruising a bit.
Yeah.
And he's a kid, and we've got him, and you know, we know he can play. Is that if you can go out and you can do that again, and you can go to, you know, we see plenty of stuff at the lower leagues. You go out and you buy Chelmsford's best player, Ebbsfleet's great best player, and you know who they are because you scouted them. You have a good team. Mm. If you go out and you buy players because they once played for me 5 years ago, or you're a Premier League player 5 years ago, but you've been a bit injured since, or you're a decent player at this level, but you've been injured for the last three seasons, but we'll punt on you. That's when things go wrong, and that's you recognise three managers.
Apart from one sign that's happened this year. That's thankfully we haven't got the manager that does that normally, so we should be all right.
But, well, I wasn't just talking about him.
I know.
I threw two others in there as well. In fact, I don't think we've had a proper transfer policy.
We've now got the policy. We can't execute
but it's just shackled.
Exactly. Phil Brown bought a lot of. I mean, to be fair, actually, when we were in League One, right. I mean, we had he bought some good players. I mean, I was a particular fan of Andy Wordsworth. I thought he was a real quality player that was probably we were probably punching above our weight with him. He got the best out of Noel Ranger for a bit, and we had some good stuff going there. He also bought some players that were past it. Noel Hunt, great player that he was clearly past it. And then you get into everything that's gone on there. Chris Powell bought... I love Chris Powell, but he bought some rubbish. You look at the players he bought, they never really played. They were injured. He didn't get any luck with his injuries.
This is the point you're making, but yeah, like you said, there was no actual club transfer.
There was no strategy.
There was no philosophy behind the club. It was just, well, you're manager A, you do what you want to do, right? You go manager B.
Look at the whole Rob Keane
thing. You go from total football to long ball, that'd be fine. Yeah, let's do that.
You look at the whole Rob Keane thing.
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
Yeah. And yeah, that just under, and Liam Ridgewell, I'm not going to have a go at Liam Ridgewell either because I know what went on there. But the whole thing was just bonkers. Yeah. You don't sanction that. You just have a.
We just have a growing up conversation, didn't you? Say, well, I'm obviously not doing that.
You know, that's.
But this goes back to a time where he had no go between, he had no chief executive.
Yeah.
So he's just left to make his own decisions, and he's an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. So right now we have Tom Lawrence, who kind of does it. But again, you just know, we know what happened with Lapata. We know he's done it in the past with Adam Barrett, Niall Ranger, did it somebody else, Freddie Eastwood.
Freddie.
Where he's
Lee
just
Barnard.
Come in and gone, we'll just do this.
Lee Sawyer, if you remember, you're going to go that deep.
Yeah. Lee Swope.
Lee Swope.
There should have been a footballer in there, by the way, and I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
He should have been a footballer, that boy.
Yeah.
I don't know why he didn't kind of have a decent career.
I actually really liked
him. I thought he was a very good player. But
when we had him on loan the first time, he was absolutely shit hot, wasn't he?
That's off topic, isn't it? But yeah, I really liked him.
Yeah.
But yeah, once a year he used to do that, if you remember. He used to bring a player
back. He'd bring one back.
Once a year, bring a player back. You know. Just so that something would go wrong.
I've done it with Alan McCormack. He brought him back.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Alan McCormack. Do Adam
Sam Hart.
Sam Hart. Actually, I thought people used to write.
Ron Martin's got four phone numbers.
Yeah.
Mick McCarthy. One of them's Mick McCarthy. One of them's Harry Redknapp.
Really, still got Phil Brown's.
Yep. Okay. One of them's Phil Brown's, and I reckon the other one is.
Made.
Yeah. I read somewhere.
Kevin Bond.
I read somewhere that the winding up order, Phil Brown was there.
Don't know.
I just read that somewhere on Twitter. Someone was just thrown, and nobody picked up on it. But I just wonder whether
I don't know, because I heard quite recently from a very reliable source that Phil Brown was back in India.
He's working in India.
He's doing.
He's not managing.
When I mean was there, I mean was part of the action.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant was in the room.
No, I meant was part of the action.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, he probably was then.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, you know. I don't know who he still owes money to, whether he's paid that.
Everyone.
And what legacy.
Everyone that he's ever given a contract to, he'll still owe him money.
Because there's going to be a case where he might, you know, if you're going to sell a club and you look at what the club owes, mm-hmm. he's actually, how much debt is there?
Well, I know, I won't say this on record, but there's one that I know of, and it's ancient. And I know the person in question has written it off, but it's not the point. He is still owed that money.
Yeah, I know one that goes back a bit as well.
But that's how positive it could be. Imagine he does go. That's how positive, yeah, so almost end on that high.
That's how good
it could be next season.
You know, the football club leaves its life back. The supporters need to be able to go to the games without always thinking what's coming around the corner, what hasn't he paid, what embargo's going, what player is going to walk out.
Yeah, we can solely just watch the game and react based on what we're seeing in front of us. Rather than having to go, that has a bit poor today. But they've got X, Y and Z behind them.
One of the best seasons I watched was the Paul Sturrock season. The first one.
Yeah.
The football weren't great.
I didn't mind it.
The football weren't great. And actually, we spent the first six games having a pre-season because he started with Anthony Grant. But to watch that season,
started with Anthony Grant.
We did. That was it. Everyone else was left. But
it's not that gif of Will Smith in The Fresh Prince. It was just
watch
like
that team develop and come along, and to see people like the great Chris Parker just come in, and Mark Phillips, and watch that partnership
just evolve.
And then Mosny come in, and the madness of that, and the other players that came in, and I'm not going to ever go at Blair Sturrock, he did us a job, but that was, you know, the whole Blair Sturrock thing, working with Barry. I was just watching that develop was magnificent to watch, and it was good fun. So you don't have to be top of the league and winning games week in, week out to enjoy the football.
Yeah.
But I find this at the moment is unenjoyable.
So, I mean, it would be nice.
There's just too much going on in the background.
Yeah. It would be, I just want to, like, support a football club.
Yeah.
And I don't want to know all of the other crap. I just want to go and watch football, and I want to talk about football.
If you talk football and someone says, who do you support? And you go, I support Liverpool. People are. You say, I support Southend United. You then have the next 20 questions that comes with it.
Yeah.
You know, I get
people, but what Prem team do you support? That's always the first one.
Yeah, yeah. I get people on Twitter and Facebook who often drop me a line about what's going on down there. How do you put up with that?
Oh yeah, my mates would always, it'd be around, they'd be sat in the chat and they'd be like, oh, he's off again, it'd be Ron doing something, or Southend United, oh, X, Y and Z, and he's like, he's off again, he's like, you know, they don't go to watch South, and they come Southend once a year max. Even they know, they're like, he's a nightmare.
It's almost like, even though I don't go home games at the moment, it's almost like encompassing that everything I talk about relates to that football club and the problems with it. And I just want it to be a normal football club that you can go and support and love, and not have that constant weight on your shoulder that what's Clown Shoe is going to fuck up.
This is going to be a weird comment. I want to go and watch a game, or not necessarily want to, but you're answering the point, mate. I want to go and watch, say, take Saturday for example. I'd love to have been able to come out of that game and almost gone, them players are a disgrace.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I saw a lot of people doing that, and I thought, no, you're so wrong for having a go at these players here. Like, it was crap. It was so crap.
Literally can't add to our squad.
It's just, I think Kev Miley's played every minute of every game this
season. Yeah, he's we're burnt out.
He must be knackered. Yeah. And I know it's only once a week or twice a week, whatever. But what I'm just talking about, just everything together. So like, I can't even moan at the players. I'm like, one man.
No, I know.
and he's so.
And he's not even there.
He's not even there. I can't even moan at him. Like, I can shout Martin out at a game, right? And I enjoyed doing that, to be honest with you. But
which was too quiet yesterday, by the way.
I stopped shouting at the managers after I shouted at Chris Powell 3-0 down against Portsmouth. We were playing absolute dreadful. And he made a sub, and I just gave him. Only time I've ever shouted at Chris Powell.
That's not you at all, is it?
Only time I've ever shouted at Chris Powell. And I forgot who he took off, but he put a less attacking player on. Of course, we drew 3-3.
Yeah.
So I've never done it since. Just, okay, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think you should do it more often, Kerry, and we'll turn games around.
but yeah, I think you're right. It's a strange.
Yeah, it's a shame, but I think it's almost. It's been the whole thing has been a rant, but it's not about the team.
We've just been sat here for an hour and a half, just ranting again.
It's not about the team. I don't care about losing five in a row to four teams that are better than us. I don't care.
It's about one man and his behaviour.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel quite cathartic about this just download. And I'm really pleased I've got the Why I Don't Go to Roots Hall out.
Yeah.
Because people have said to me, you've gone from that to that. What's gone on? Why are you watching Brighton Sea Regent next week? The Barton Rovers or whoever's are off. The mighty Barton Rovers. But there's a reason for it. And it's not just because... You know, I'm clearly not a glory hunter. I support Southend United.
I support Southend. I do ground hopping.
Yeah, you know, I'm clearly not a glory hunter.
What virgin? Yeah.
And I don't have a rucksack. But to actually get these things out and talk about actually how you feel about it, it's almost like a psycho session.
No, it is. Yeah, it is.
It's just go around and just share these.
But it was getting to a point where there's so many times we've done this for getting on for 4 years now. And we always end when we have a little break, it always ends up becoming a longer break than anticipated because it ends up getting depressing.
Yeah, of course.
And you don't want to just keep moaning.
This is the first time in like 4 years it's not been a footballer. So
yeah. That's handy. I mean, one thing I would like to say whilst I've got this podcast on is you had that Gateshead guy on.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Like, did he describe me as some old geezer?
Yeah.
Can you run a marathon, pal?
We'll put you in contact.
So well done for not rising to it, Kevin.
well done for not mentioning it. It was about 6 months ago.
That might be a fiver.
Do I owe someone money for that?
You might have to, yeah.
You might have to go in the kitty.
But there we go, so...
I've got an office in Newcastle. I'll take you out and buy him a pint.
Nice bloke.
It'd be fun. Yeah.
But cool. I think we should wrap it up there. I say it's been a rant, so it's. I hope that's actually come across as an actual good chat rather than... It's just three blokes.
Just three blokes. Each other. Three Yorkshire blokes in a pub.
It's just two blokes that have a podcast. Yeah. I don't know why the supporters group.
Yeah, true.
I know why you're in the supporters group. If you want to ask me the question, because I invited you.
Kerry, why are we in the supporters group?
Because you're edgy.
Another bleep. There you go.
Ask me again. Don't edit that out. Go on.
just bleep it.
Kerry, why are we in the supporters group?
Because you're a bit edgy. And actually, what it needed was a little bit of edge rather than...
We got called melts a couple of weeks ago.
Now I've become... Pow, Mow and Stow, whether it is, because I just get. When I went on them calls, I just sort of lost enthusiasm.
Yeah, the original bit was just to get everybody in that got out to everybody to so get the news out. And all of that group started before the madness of this.
Yeah.
You know, okay, in between various bits of madness. But I think having you guys in and you kind of. You're a bit edgy, you're a bit younger than everybody else, and I don't mean that any way disrespectful at all, that you came with a slightly different viewpoint, a more modern viewpoint, and you said things that other people really weren't tapped into. Yeah. So that's why you were bought in.
Yeah.
And obviously I'm a little bit more divorced from it now, but yeah, it's interesting seeing the little protest group and what they come up with and some of the ideas they do. Be interested where they go. With this bit of news.
I don't think I've ever been called edgy before.
I
think that's the first.
I've called you other things.
I've been called other things as well. Yeah. But,
edgy Ede. Edgy Ede and White Scott.
I know I just said we're going to wrap it up about 5 minutes ago, but yeah, just to make a point on that protest group, actually, I think they've got to continue.
Because
he hasn't gone.
The Martin out presence yesterday was near enough non-existent.
No one was going to be, and that was, I think...
Yeah, and that... Not to come across as rude and abrupt, but that's the wrong approach. Yeah. He's not gone anywhere yet.
Yeah, we need to.
You need to keep the squeeze going. Like he's started to crack.
Well, I think that was so. What that was, it was probably, for want of a better term, the tag-alongs that are part of it. Seen that news and gone, no, it's done.
I mean, the actual
group themselves, they've turned up still.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying everybody, but it's not done yet.
Yeah. I mean, I saw they posted ahead of March. It wasn't very well attended, and they put it down.
That's
to
what
the
I mean. Yeah.
So. Fair play.
You've got it.
But I think you know the days when I was shouting at Vic Jobson have gone, and I had to hand that megaphone over to somebody else. Then Mark handed it back to me. But you know younger people will come through with different ideas, and just because they're young doesn't diminish their importance or their value at all. And I think they've done a really good job.
I've always had the opposite stance on that. I think if you're not kind of welcoming and open to new, younger supporters constantly coming in, then where's your fan base going to be in 50 years?
Exactly.
You need to always accommodate younger fans.
Exactly. And when I hear, it's just a bunch of kids, kind of like, because once I was that kid.
Why is that an insult?
We've all been that kid.
If you go back to the early 80s and Anton Johnson, we've just had a run of shithouse chairman who fans have protested against. I've probably spent more time protesting against the chairman who roots all than I have supporting the club.
It's not even good, is it?
No,
it's not looking good, bro.
So actually, none of us who are probably 60 or less have gone through a time where we haven't been shouting at the chairman.
Great. Look forward to that.
Fantastic.
There you go. Let's end on that.
Shall we end on that?
Yeah, let's end on that.
I feel much better. Cheers, Kerry.
The Barton Rovers on Saturday.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.